listening to the Colorado Springs Real Estate Investing Podcast, brought to you by the Envision Advisors at Your Castle Real Estate.
Hi, Colorado Springs. This is Jenny, and I'm here today with my co-host, Leah. Leah, how are you doing?
Good. How are you, Jenny?
I'm doing great. I'm really, really excited for you to be our co-host today, since we're going to be doing a deep dive into one of your favorite places, which is Pueblo.
Yes.
And yeah, today we're joined by some special guests. We have Sarah Blackhurst and Brian McCain of Action 22. Sarah and Brian, how are you guys doing?
We're doing great.
Doing awesome.
Beautiful day. It was a beautiful morning. We just are having a great time.
Well, thanks so much for joining us. I know that this conversation is going to be really, really helpful for a lot of people to kind of understand what is going on down in Pueblo specifically, even though I know that you guys reach out to other Southern Colorado counties. But today we're just going to focus on Pueblo. And would you be able to kind of elaborate what Action 22 is?
Sure. Action 22 is sort of like a legislative chamber of commerce. We're a member-driven organization that serves 22 counties. We work on how local government affairs, economic development, health, education, and natural resources intersect. So all the public policy stuff that goes into that, and it's for the prosperity of our communities. So we work really closely with elected officials, but also it's all for the benefit of our members. So we do a whole lot of different things. We talk about a lot of different issues, and then we just try to influence some of the decisions that come out so that there is a focus on the rural part of, or that Action 22 footprint, what's going on down there.
Great. Yeah. Sarah, as CEO of Action 22 and Brian as COO, you guys are both executive leaders for this organization. Would you guys be able to give the audience a background and how it led you to take, you know, these leadership positions within Action 22?
Yeah. So I actually come from the political world. I was the district director for Congressman Scott Tipton, who represented the 3rd Congressional District of Colorado, which is one of the largest in the country that's not a full state. So I covered issues all the way on the Western Slope over to Pueblo in Southern Colorado, and also worked in Washington, D.C. quite a bit off and on over the past decade. So that's what really got me into Action 22. We would consult them with anything that we were working on from a policy standpoint in D.C. Action 22 is primarily focused on state issues, but also kind of gets into the federal side of things. So Action 22's office was across from my Pueblo office. So we talked often, and then when my job came to an end, Sarah kind of went across the hall and said, "Hey, you want to move over 5 feet?" I'm like, that's an easy move for me. So
my background is entirely nonprofit administration. So I've done everything from foundation work, director, fund development, and all of that. And so when I came on with Action 22, I'd already been using Scott Tipton's office and Brian in particular as a resource. And so that was just a very easy transition. Brian has always been a big supporter of Action 22, and I wouldn't have even known about it until, except for Brian. So we'd worked closely on all of those fronts, but it's really that work that Brian had been doing on for Scott Tipton's office, and then all of the needs and everything that goes on in our communities that led us to really formulate a team, I think, that is in the last year since we've been doing that has become highly effective in trying to address some of the issues and what's going on. And really, I think we see a lot of opportunity in how our communities can move forward right now in a post-pandemic world. And so we've been playing around with a few ideas, and I think we've been doing a lot of listening to what other people have been trying to get done for a really long time. And right now is the opportunity to get it done. So we're actually really excited, and we see as many blessings as not blessings that have happened in the last 2 years.
Great. So kind of diving, you know, right into the real estate part of things. So right now, Envision Advisors, our group, we're focused primarily on educating and assisting investors in buying investment real estate, primarily buy and hold properties in Denver, Colorado Springs, and most recently, Pueblo. And a few months ago, we published a deep dive into Pueblo's real estate outlook based on economic factors from an investor's point of view. And a lot of the feedback that we got was that people really enjoyed it, but they still just don't know what Pueblo has to offer. And it's, you know, it seems like Pueblo is just this mysterious city in Colorado. Do you kind of get that feedback as well? And do you know why it seems to be so mysterious compared to its, you know, northern sister cities?
Yeah. So Pueblo right now is, and I've been saying it on our show quite a bit, you know, Pueblo's on the cusp of becoming something bigger and greater. It's always been about there, but never in recent history has it been where it's at now. We joke that you'll talk to somebody from Denver, even Springs or out of state, and when they drive through Pueblo, they're kind of like, eh, it's that like ugly brown town that's off the highway and never stop. And they don't realize that Pueblo is very rich with culture and community, you know, from the Riverwalk to the Pueblo Reservoir, which I think is the second largest tourist attraction in the state right now. If you take the time to get into Pueblo, it opens up and then you can see the beauty that is Pueblo. And it's not just this brown area. And I think that stigma is kind of stuck with it over time. And with Action 22, you know, one of our purposes is to fight for this area, including El Paso County. El Paso County is in our area of operation as well. And our primary mission is to get away from that kind of stigma. This is, I don't know anything about this. It's a bad town or a mysterious town. And make sure that the people up north and in the Denver area, you know, like, oh, there's something down here. And it's a beautiful place. And with the real estate market now, you know, Pueblo has around 170,000 people in the county. I could be off a little bit there, but water is very important. And that's the top of every discussion when it comes to real estate now or anything, any type of development. And Pueblo actually has enough water for almost 500,000 people. It's like 400 and some thousand people, which I think is important with real estate because you're seeing, you know, Fountain, Colorado is like a great example where they're building out these houses and investing in this, but they don't have the water. Pueblo has the water for real estate or anything down here.
Well, and I think Pueblo has every opportunity. And when you look at it on paper, it's really hard to understand perhaps why it hasn't exploded yet. And it really goes into, I love the word that you use, the word mysterious, or that it was, there's really not an understanding on how to do that. And it's really simple. And it goes for all of Colorado, but especially our rural communities, is everybody has known everybody for such a long time that there's a trust issue. There's a trust issue when somebody comes in. Mm-hmm. And so absolutely the best thing that an investor can do is to take a look at it, do the numbers, but then get really involved in the community in a hurry. Find out, and we've seen this happen with a couple of different things where there's an investor who joined Action 22 a year or so ago. He has a project and it's moving forward in really positive ways in spite of the pandemic, in spite of all the barriers that have come with that. And it's because he came down, he fell in love with the community, then he got to know everybody and he got really involved in a really big hurry. And that way, those relationships, the whole thing, the whole game down there is building those relationships and building that trust.
That's great. Yeah, I know Leah took me down to Pueblo probably a few months ago, gave me a little tour. She's very familiar with the area and is so cute. Downtown is, you know, you can see that it's getting really built up. Like it has shops and, you know, the downtown area is really nice. And it's just, oh my goodness, I didn't know this little gem was down here. So it's very interesting. And you probably don't know it until you go down there. I think
exactly.
Kind of my call to action to everyone listening, just, you know, go to the city and just walk around the Riverwalk, walk around downtown. It's, you know, probably something that you weren't going to expect in a very positive way.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah.
And we hear that all the time. We bring people in and they go, oh, this is amazing. This is really great. Why did we not know it was here? Well, it's because you've not been brave enough to stop. And so when everybody who does that and goes and sees Pueblo from the perspective of people who love Pueblo, they fall in love as well.
Yes. I think that's what it was for me. I grew up in La Vida, so I would, come to town, I'd spend some time there, and then a couple years ago and stayed for a little over a year, and I just fell in love with it, just day to day, everything, everyone down there is so kind. It's just such a friendly community. So that's why I'm always advocating for Pueblo so hard, because, it's come a long way. And it's such an adorable place. And like you said, it's on the brink of something great. So I'm a huge fan. So,
and La Vida is nothing to sneeze at either. La Vida is a great little town. I love La Vida. If my family didn't live in Rye, I would live in La Vida, because I live in Rye. La Vida is fantastic.
Yeah. And Brian, you brought up a really interesting point about the water. I had seen an article that came out probably a few months ago. I think it was through the Gazette. I'm not positive, but just mentioning that Fountain was having water constraint issues. So they weren't able to approve new builds that were going out there. Yeah. And, my initial gut reaction would be, well, the infrastructure for Pueblo is already set up. And if, they're able to accept that water going north, you're going to have a higher price point. That's probably going to eliminate a lot of the builder's ability to, build at the prices that they're wanting to. Pueblo is the very obvious choice in my opinion, to welcome those new builds.
Yeah. And it's happening right now too. My wife is actually a realtor and their houses are gone within a day or two when something's on the market. And if you go out west to Pueblo West, you're just seeing new developments everywhere out there.
It's huge.
Yeah.
It's huge. It's crazy.
They can't get enough builders. They can't get enough construction guys to keep up with that. Wow. But you're seeing that all through Southern Colorado right now too. I mean, all of it, and water's such a big deal. And Brian's absolutely right. Nobody, unless you know, you don't know what a really great position Pueblo is on water. I mean, far ahead of what you might imagine.
That's really interesting. I think it's something that, people should take a hard look at for sure when evaluating, their real estate decisions. What are some of the current hot topic, public policies that would impact Pueblo's housing market in the environment for investors to be aware of? I know we just spoke about the water situation, but, anything public policy wise that people should be aware of?
Locally, it's actually good. The local government in Pueblo is really doing everything they can to bring people in, because we do have a housing shortage here. Some of the things that they're throwing around on city council and the county is, a vacant property tax, because there are, I don't know the exact number, but at one time it was 7% of all the housing in Pueblo was vacant. And with any town, you have people that just sit on this property, that don't rent it, don't keep it up. And Pueblo didn't really have a good ordinance to encourage people to rent their house or sell it or keep it up. And that's changing right now. I think we're finally seeing some things happen with that. So there is that, but that doesn't really deter from investment, I think. In fact, it would make it better, because now people are responsible to keep up their property and they don't want to. So what are they going to do? They're going to sell it to an investor or a home builder. The other thing is, Pueblo is really transitioning to the most business friendly town in the state. And that goes for everything from, real estate investment to small business to large business, whereas they're just cutting the red tape, putting everything in a one-stop shop. So if you want to come in here and develop, you just go to one building and everything's in there, versus having to go to a planning department and, a business department. They're putting city and county all in one area, I think, soon. And that's going to offer an opportunity for somebody that wants to come in here and invest and possibly build some of these housing projects. And they are looking at what the ARPA funds that possibly helping some developers come in and maybe offset some of that cost if you are going to build a housing development or, like, say, an apartment, multifamily housing type area.
And the way that that's different in the past, we have some really great leadership. So I don't know if you knew, but Pueblo has a mayor again for the first time in like 80 years. So he came into office not too long, which sounds just crazy that there wasn't a mayor, but there wasn't. But part of the problem with that is working with the county and the city didn't work all that well together. There's just a lot of barriers and bureaucracy in between.
Government in general.
Yeah, just government in general. But we have Pueblo has an amazing group of county commissioners right now. And Garrison Ortiz in particular wanted to make sure that Pueblo County was very business friendly. So he's worked with, now that there's a mayor, to try to get exactly what Brian just described done. So that's a huge one on that. The other thing that you're going to see in Pueblo that's really going to be explosion on investment is energy development. And with all the energy, the development, the only reason it's not moving faster is because there's the housing. And so as we start to see investment, we start to see that build out. And we're already seeing some of that happen. As you start to see that happen, it's going to work with it. Both of them, those developments are going to work together, and you're going to see a huge explosion in Pueblo.
So you mentioned housing. Is there just not enough workforce housing available? Is that?
Yeah.
Correct.
And it's part of it too is Pueblo's always been a very affordable place to live.
Yes.
But with the market as it is now, it's gotten more expensive over the past 2 years. Mm-hmm. And when you have more of a lower income workforce here, because it's so cheap to live, you know, you could get by and live comfortably on like half of what you need in Springs or Denver. It kind of led to that shortage. And you know, even from nurses, there was an article in the Chieftain that was saying they can hire the nurses, but the nurses don't have anywhere to live in Pueblo, and that seems to be the issue. The same thing with you know, the energy development. Like, they're going to hire all these people to come in or hire them from Pueblo, but there's nowhere for them to live. So they're actually starting to look outside of the Pueblo County for options to build some of this workforce housing.
Oh, interesting. What do you know where specifically? Is it kind of south or Trinidad area?
A little bit south. I know there's been some discussion of the Walsenburg-Levita area, mm-hmm. You know, Huerfano County. Also, Pueblo County is huge, so mm-hmm. there's opportunity. There's a lot of just blank land out there, and that's some other options, like south towards Colorado City Rye, where Sarah lives, to even Pueblo West. And then even out east, there's areas too.
That's so interesting. I want to kind of pick apart some of the points that you both made and go a little bit deeper, if that's okay.
Mm-hmm,
the vacant property tax, that is very interesting. Do you know, is that cost prohibitive to the point where people that own these vacant homes, they need to, you know, they're basically going to be like, yeah, I either need to fix this thing up and provide housing to somebody, or I just need to get rid of it. Is it a pretty steep tax?
So eventually, they haven't actually done that part of it yet. It's still in the discussions in city council what they're going to do. I know, and again, I could be wrong on this, but I do believe they put together a vacant house registry. And then a lot of homeowners that had these were sent out basically fines. I think it was a $500 fine from the police department saying that, you know, your house doesn't have utilities and there's weeds everywhere. You have to pay this. But I don't know where they're actually at in the process. It's an ongoing thing because we haven't really had a process for that up to this point.
Well, and they're also not just talking about residential properties. They're also talking about what needs to be done on the commercial side as well.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's very fascinating. I'm definitely going to keep a tab on that. Because like you said, that could be pretty impactful to the real estate world. And then just in terms of, Leah.
Sorry, that just makes me really happy. Yeah. That's all I wanted to say. Finally.
Yeah.
Well, vacant homes were starting to become such a public health hazard, mm-hmm. That there had to be something done. There has to be something done about it. And so you know, there's a lot of pushback on some of those things, but it's just, there's going to have to be some tough decisions to made in order to move forward. So I don't know how much is going to get done in election year, which is coming up, but we'll see what happens.
And then in terms of the business friendly aspect, what sort of industries is Pueblo hoping to attract? It sounds like energy is one. I assume energy, probably more of the, you know, clean type energy that they're going to move to. What other types of industries are you guys looking towards attracting?
It's Pueblo has an agency called PEDCO, the Pueblo Economic Development Corporation. And what it is there's a half cent sales tax that the voters vote renew every so many years. And so this half cent sales tax goes into a fund to bring in business, and it helps them set up as long as they are here for a certain number of years and hire a certain number of people over those years. Primarily, the focus has been manufacturing and kind of the heavy industrial stuff. So we have an industrial park out by the airport where there's aerospace companies, there's like air conditioner manufacturers, stuff like that, more of that type of industry. And then also on the other side of town, there's a similar setup. Vestas is over there that makes the windmills. PWAG, they make chains. There's a rail tie manufacturer. So GCC, that's and GCC, the cement plant. So that's been the primary focus of bringing in these businesses in this industry. Now they're kind of switching more to the small business. We've done great at bringing in manufacturing, but not as good bringing in small business like the mom and pop shops or you know, less than 50 employees. So that's really the focus right now. And if you go downtown, there are a lot of empty business buildings that they could bring in somebody like they brought in a cheese shop a few years ago. So we have Wisconsin Cheese out of Pueblo, a lot of restaurants, a lot of antique stores. There is a push for the arts. So they're developing a lot more with the art corridor funding for art galleries and that type of thing, more of the touristy stuff. So that is, again, we still have the manufacturing aspect, but they are focusing a lot more on the small business side of things. So if you have a dartboard with every type of business on it, just throw a dart and we're bringing them in now.
Well, we're also seeing a lot of interest from aerospace and tech too, because the infrastructure and the land is available for build out. So
now, would that be kind of a spillover impact? Because I know Colorado Springs obviously has a lot of aerospace and tech, and that's a main supporter of that city's economy. Is it going to be, hey, Pueblo has better incentives, we have cheaper, fixed costs, like let's move down here? Is that kind of what you're anticipating?
Yes, absolutely. And we have the Pueblo Chemical Depot down here that is closing down in the next probably 5 years. So they're selling that land and those facilities to these businesses, which is set up perfect for aerospace. I mean, you have an actual army base in Pueblo with the security and infrastructure they need. And it's also close to the rail. So Pueblo does have rail going through it that is used as well.
Very interesting. I know that there's always, I feel like every couple of years there's talks of Hyperloop or Hyperloop-esque type of transportation from Pueblo to Colorado Springs to Denver. So that would, are you guys kind of hearing that as well?
Yeah, they're actually testing it here in Pueblo at the TTCI. It's the test track, as we call it, but it's where they test rail and train. So I believe they signed the contract 2 months ago to actually start developing the Hyperloop testing down there.
That's really exciting. Awesome. Yeah, that I think would be just a phenomenal impact, for the whole Front Range, obviously. Yes. But I mean, that'd be great. And then some of the things that we tell our investors is look where the revitalization projects are going on. So, in Colorado Springs, I'm pretty familiar where all the revitalization projects are. And I'm, personally, I try to invest like in or near where those are going, because that's going to naturally bring values up. So what are some of the revitalization projects that Pueblo is currently seeing, and which areas?
Well, our very favorite one is what we call Water Tower Place. Mm-hmm. Ryan McWilliams started that. It's the old packing plant. It's a historical building in all ways. So originally it was the first packing plant, meat packing plant west of the Mississippi. It survived the flood that was 100 years ago, almost exactly 100 years ago. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of amazing history surrounding it, including that's where the USDA regulations for meatpacking were created there. I mean, it's just an amazing project. And Ryan got it, I think he acquired the building probably 3 years ago or so. And the amazing things that he's done with it. It's an incubator, but it's really, I refer it to it as the flagship of economic development for Southern Colorado, because the whole thing is, as Pueblo prospers, the whole region prospers. It's just, it just has that kind of synergy. So we'd love to see these kinds of projects, but they're doing everything from there. They have, they're in partnership with CSUP and also PCC to develop some of the things that they need to do as far as education goes. There's several businesses that are in there. We have a lot of our meetings over there because it's a great facility, and he promotes such a great culture of collaboration and prosperity and positive thinking. We're huge fans of Ryan McWilliams, but as you see that project develop, that popped up, and then some of the other projects that I talked about earlier, those start to go. So it really, the thing that's really great about that is when you see something like that happens, it sort of gives permission and takes some of the fear out of those revitalization projects that happen. Of course, it's right next to the Riverwalk, and I'm told, and I've really tried to find this and explore, and Ryan sort of laughs about it when I say it, but there is a tunnel between the Water Tower Place, underground tunnel between Water Tower Place and the Riverwalk. And one of these days, I'm going to find that door.
and it just basically that downtown area, you're seeing two other buildings going up, paid for by investors. That's going to be everything from like a food court to affordable housing to apartments to more of the bougie, you know, fancy stuff on the Riverwalk. So just that, if you take the downtown area, that it is ripe for investment and projects right now.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Do they have a kind of a timeline for, I guess, you know, sometimes the city blesses these projects, and sometimes they're, you know, privately funded, but I know in Colorado Springs it can take, you know, a decade or two to get things up and running to meet their goals. Does Pueblo kind of have like the same timeline on a lot of their revitalization projects?
I would say I'd put it at 3 to 5 years. Yeah. I think. In 3 years, I mean, you're already seeing the changes now,
yeah,
especially with the Holmes Hardware building, which is now the, what is it? The iron?
Yeah, maybe Iron Works.
No. Yeah, I forget
yeah, what
they renamed it. But I mean, they're planning on having this going like in a few years.
Wow. Oh, yeah. So on that project where they're going to do a food court on the first floor, or a food hall where it'll be a restaurant incubator, because Pueblo restaurants and food, I mean, that's an experience. Pueblo food is an experience in and of itself. And so that will be a restaurant incubator, and then some really great, like Brian said, bougie apartments up there that would be connected. And so that's on one end of Union. It's right across from the Union Depot, just down from the library. And then it goes all the way to the other side, the other end of Main Street. And so it connects all of that together. And you're just seeing some really great synergy. It's an act of faith and bravery to do that and to be invested in that. And so these guys have really kind of, they're plowing snow. Nathan, who has the, and I can't think of his last name.
Nathan Stern,
who has the Holmes Hardware building, and then Ryan McWilliams. They're plowing snow, but they're creating their own way of doing it. And maybe that's part of what leads to the mystery of it, because they're breaking the mold on some of these things to get it done.
Yeah. It just takes one brave person or one brave business to you know, basically decide, nope, this is what we're going to do. We're going to build this up. And everyone goes, oh, okay, I guess it was, you know, that was a good idea. I'm going to do the same thing. And that's kind of when you see that ripple effect. So that's really interesting that they took on that project. Mm-hmm. Good for them.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So in terms of incentives for businesses, like that's, you know, employment is something that investors take a really good look at when they're deciding to you know, invest in a certain area. Are there tax incentives? Are there, you know, anything that, like, what is drawing new businesses to Pueblo?
It's going back to the PEDCO organization. You know, mm-hmm. they do offer incentives, tax incentives to, you know, everywhere from like buying the property for them or paying for some of the property, like getting rid of some of the property taxes for a certain amount of time. So Pueblo has a lot of incentives for that. And again, going back to the one-stop shop, which will also be accessible online as well. So again, if anybody started a business, and I did a while ago and lasted for a few years, you know, start getting your foot in the door, going through the process is nearly impossible. They make it so hard. And with this new program that Pueblo is doing, we're going to be the only one of two in the country that do it this way. You could start your whole business just online from, you know, if you're living in England and want to start a business in Pueblo, they're going to make it that accessible to do it. And then also bring in PEDCO and the more of the financial help, and the incentives will be tied into that as well.
Wow. That's fantastic. So, I mean, that's the thing is, like, when you can get rid of those bureaucratic barriers and make things easier for people, you know, if I'm going to decide to create a business, I would personally want to go where there's, you know, less paperwork and less headache and, you know, a higher chance of success of getting it up and running. So that makes a lot of sense.
Well, it's just expanding accessibility in action.
Yeah. Fantastic. Then I guess in terms of energy, is the city offering kind of the same incentives to energy companies, or is there, you know, different types of, you know,
there's on that end? Pueblo is in a constant fight when it comes to energy, because we have Black Hills Energy for the metro part. And then the outer regions, there's different co-ops and providers. But Pueblo has had a love-hate relationship with Black Hills, and it's much better than it was 10 years ago. And Black Hills does do a good job trying to offer incentives for business and helping them out. So there is that part of it. The other side is we also have Xcel Energy in Pueblo that has the Comanche power plants, which employs a lot of people in Pueblo. And there's discussion now that, you know, it wasn't going to stay up until 2070. Now it's 2040. Now it may be 2030. But going back to the employment side, you're going to have a lot of people that may be losing their jobs in the next 10 years as that shuts down. So that offers like a huge workforce for some more of the technical manufacturing type stuff. But there are incentives when it comes to energy. It's just you have to kind of talk to the right person. And that'll be part of that one-stop shop as well. Mm-hmm. They want to bring, you know, liaisons in from not just the government, but from the energy providers to the state, you know, through, you know, economic development or the SBA federally. So there's incentives, and it'll be easy to find.
Okay. You guys have done an amazing job answering the questions that I have and probably the questions that our investors have. Leah, do you have any other questions?
I don't think so. All my questions have been answered. So...
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
What would you say, I guess, you know, in kind of closing, what would you say to potential buy and hold investors out there that are intrigued by Pueblo, kind of want to dip their toe in, other than, hey, drive down here and, you know, spend a day here, there. But is there anything else that you would want to relay to investors?
Compared with the rest of the state, Pueblo is probably your best bet right now. And again, Pueblo is on the cusp of becoming something much larger and special, but it won't happen without these investors. And I know it sounds like a risk, but it's going to happen. And, you know, I would say get ahead of it before it's too late.
Well, and you know, all real investors know this. You can't wait until you feel 100% comfortable. If you have questions, just dive in because you're going to miss the opportunity if you don't. And that's the truth of it. There's some really cool things. You'd said you'd listen to the show that we did with Randy Thurston. Mm-hmm. We're going to follow up with some of those things. And by the way, if your listeners are wondering, the show that we do every week is called Making Action Happen. You can find it on all the major platforms and on YouTube. But Randy Thurston brought a lot of things in, and one of the things that we're really excited about, and Brian's actually been talking about this for a really long time, is that entertainment district that he's trying to get done in downtown. We have a new director for the Chamber of Commerce. We're really excited about that. It's just bringing a fresh face. We loved Rod Slyhoff. He was an icon of Pueblo, and he was there for a really long time, but he had been pretty sick the last few years that he was there. And so I think all the things that he wanted to get done didn't always get done. And so now there's a fresh face with the highly effective team that was already there. We're going to see some really great things happen there. And then you'll see, as we drive a regional approach, that it's going to not just bless Pueblo, but the entire region is going to really be lifted up right now with what's happening. So be brave. And you know, for investors, just, don't wait around. Start doing your homework right now.
And just if they have any concerns, you know, just look around Colorado Springs. We have Mount Carmel just opened up a new spot in Pueblo. We've been talking with the O'Neill Group that does the Catalyst campus up there, because they're moving to Southern Colorado, even further than Trinidad, you know, and there's a constant barrage of people from Denver and Springs and Pueblo looking where they can put their money.
Yeah.
And we get these questions every single day.
Oh my goodness. Well, you said so many things that it is something that we like to relay to our clients, as well as you hit the nail on the head when you said you cannot be 100% sure of something. Because, you know, with investment, there's risk, and taking a calculated risk with, you know, proper reserves and proper contingencies in mind, I think that's how you will succeed as an investor. So I love that you guys said that. And I also agree with what you mentioned. You know, Colorado Springs has seen a huge resurgence over the past couple of years. Like, I know when I started investing there 5 years ago, I was living up in Denver, and people said I was silly for investing down there, and not so much anymore. So, you know, I can kind of see the same thing happening in Pueblo over the next couple of years.
Yeah.
Well, that's amazing. Thank you guys so much. Sarah, Brian, we really, really appreciate you taking time out of your day. I know you guys are doing a lot of, you know, really important things for Southern Colorado. So we appreciate you taking time out of your day, speaking to, you know, our listeners and us, answering our questions. And we'll definitely link to your group in the show notes, so that if people have questions, if people want to become active as part of your organization, they'll have all that information available to them.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Thanks for asking us. This was fun.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys. So if anyone has any questions out there, just send me an email, jenny@envisionrea.com. And again, we will put a link in the show notes to Sarah and Brian's information. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.